Couple of news items from Iraq this morning. The main Shiite alliance in Iraq has decided on its candidate for prime minister. He's Ibrahim al-Jafari. The move followed the decision by the other main candidate, Ahmed Chalabi, to withdraw from consideration. Also this morning, we have a tally of some money that's been spent for reconstruction in Iraq, as well as money that hasn't been spent. Of $18 billion set aside by the United States, only $3 billion has been paid out. And because of the lack of security, many companies assigned to reconstruction have had to retreat into fortified areas. NPR's Ann Garrels reports on one non-governmental organization's struggle to help.
The route that we'll be taking, exit out of the FOB, we'll be going north on Irish.
At Camp Falcon, in the south of Baghdad, a group of nearly a dozen U.S. soldiers prepares to venture past the concrete blast walls, sandbags, and guard posts that separate them from the red zone, the rest of Baghdad. But this is no combat mission. Standing among the soldiers is a 60-year-old gray-haired civilian named Gordon Studebaker. The military convoy has been assigned to protect him as he tries to reach out to Iraqis who need help with their small businesses.
We're out on the road, actions on contact. We engage by a small arms fire, and the gunner can positively identify the source. Go ahead and engage.
As the briefing goes on, Studebaker fiddles with his Kevlar helmet and flak jacket, what passes as proper business attire in Baghdad. He's part of the Volunteers for Economic Growth Alliance, or VEGA. After three attacks on his house, he has no choice but to seek the company of soldiers.
Who does not? You will be with Gordon.
Gordon Studebaker has until October to spend $11 million in U.S. government aid to help small businesses, $8 million for economic advisors, plus $3 million in grants. But in 4 months, he's only managed to get paperwork approved for one $5,000 grant.
If we don't create a strategy for those grants and put $600, $5,000 grants all around the country, they're just going to go in the sand.
With the clock ticking, this son of a one-time automotive pioneer climbs into a desert brown, up-armored Humvee with a machine gun turret on top for his morning commute. The convoy heads for the Al-Rashid area of Baghdad, though not the ideal way to move around. Studebaker says under current conditions, it's the only way. But to stay alive, he draws unwanted attention.
All this is problematic for the Iraqis. If they are seen talking to a soldier or talking to a Westerner and some of these evil people are around, you watch their eyes and you got to move quickly.
Yeah.
The last thing we want to do is endanger an Iraqi that we're trying to help.
He figures he has 10 minutes to make his pitch to potential grantees before the risk to them and him becomes too big. But because he has to work through a translator, that really boils down to only 5 minutes to collect information.
Now we're starting at the furniture cluster. You can see this furniture. Perfect. Stop.
The convoy stops in a dirt yard where workshops make and sell wood sofas, end tables, and bookcases. This is a place Studebaker's been before.
What I'm hoping to see is a warm welcome, that they have some recollection of me being here before, and that I care enough to come back, and that these guys and these soldiers care enough to come back, and that there is the link made between my efforts to help them and the soldiers making it possible for me to see them. My name is Gordon. I come from Vega.
To Haider, the 32-year-old Iraqi shop owner, Gordon might just as well be from Mars. Studebaker begins asking him questions that are alien, about importing different types of upholstery, supply sources, consultants, differentiating products, all to see if the Iraqi shop owner is a good candidate.
North or South Iraq?
5 minutes, Gordon. They're starting to get a little bit of crowd here.
Okay, here's what we'll do. We got to wrap up.
Studebaker quickly tells Haider how he'll follow up. A series of letters, photos, and visits, hoping to show, as he puts it, some Americans are capable of following through on promises. But as he walks to another furniture shop, the insurgency makes its presence felt.
Sean, be careful. What is that?
Put it down.
This is from a grenade.
It's a primer. Put it down.
They put it at the barbed door.
Should we not talk to him? We don't want to
ask him where the rest of it is.
Major Rich Brown.
Primer for a grenade.
He was left a warning, and it wasn't a warning because he's worked with us in the past or because we visited in the past. It has something to do with Sunni on Shia violence post-election.
As Studebaker moves on, he says he's pleased with his first round of meetings, contrasting them to his disastrous attempts in the insurgent stronghold of Ramadi. Frightened Iraqis there shunned him.
So we really made no impact. We had no exchanges like we just had. We had none of those in Ramadi. Pretty soon, people began to shut down their businesses.
Yes, pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good. How are you, Mohammed? Nice to see you.
The convoy then stops at a small one-floor building now used by the neighborhood Chamber of Commerce. Inside, Gordon Studebaker quickly greets more struggling businessmen.
The first person is Sahib Mohammed Dalatif. Is he here?
Again, through a translator, Studebaker starts going through the grant application, very similar to the forms needed to get a small business loan back in the U.S. But here, there's no effective banking system, no credit, and financial records for these small businesses simply don't exist.
Now it gets difficult. He says he's going to spend $5,000, okay? We got to come up with some costs. How about spare parts? How much of the $5,000 would be for spare parts?
Studebaker has to pluck numbers out of nowhere, filling out forms that reflect a world that doesn't exist here. But according to Studebaker, it's these people who are the hardest to help who need the help the most. Outside, Captain Reed Nan has just begun explaining how the local Chamber of Commerce works when a large blast happens nearby.
Brought into the chamber, bid it out through the chamber members, selected the contractors, and then the rest of the chamber members.
After a five-minute pause to make sure all are accounted for and everyone's okay, Studebaker is back going over grant applications. Keeping watch, Major Rich Brown wonders just what impact these grants will have.
They're the only NGO that I've seen come out here. I think they're brave for doing so. Now, if that gets us home faster, I'll accept that as an answer.
Ann Garrels, NPR News, Baghdad.